You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman. I own businesses, I help businesses grow, and I write about businesses. Today, we're welcoming / preparing to learn from Lindsay Calk, the baking realtor.
That's right.
Lindsay, how are you doing today?
I am great. How are you?
I am, you know, now that I heard that you're the baking realtor, you piqued my interest.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm your classic millennial. I've had a lot of jobs, but something that I've always had a passion for is baking.
All right.
Baking with my mom. My grandma was always a big baker. I don't think I ever was able to bake with her, but just,
sure,
you know, reminiscing about all the good cookies and
right.
lemon bars and all sorts of good stuff that she would make. It just kind of carried over into just kind of a hobby and then kind of turned into a business and now has merged with real estate somehow.
All right. So tell me, how do you combine real estate and baking? I'm assuming that you just have cookies going
sure.
in every house, right?
So, I went to pastry school after I got out of college because I graduated in 2010 when the market took a crap. And unfortunately, no businesses were hiring. I had an ad degree. So, taking my advertising, I started to kind of advertise myself and I started to reach out to just local businesses. Hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. I don't have any professional baking experience, but this is what I love to do. And so funny enough, a chocolate company in Waukesha said, I'll take you on, take you under my wing, teach you everything I know. So I was their mad scientist, and while doing that, I went to pastry school. And so while I was in pastry school, learning recipes, but also just learning, you know, different ways to bake and kind of express myself through baking.
Sure.
So fast forward, now that I'm in real estate, I'm like, well, you know, I still love to bake. So what can be my shtick? You know, everybody knows, I think the average is 7 realtors. So I'm like, how am I going to stand out amongst all of these other people?
The average
person knows on average 7 realtors.
Holy cow. All right.
So I'm like, it's just little old me. You know, I'm new to Madison. I don't really know anybody. What can I do to kind of stand out? So I started just baking for my clients, or baking for my open houses first. And then I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to give away a plate of cookies to all of my clients that I close with. So I started doing that.
Sure.
And it just kind of became my thing. I mean, you know, I have a business Facebook page, and one thing that I learned while getting my business going is just to try and be as authentic as possible.
Sure.
So instead of sitting there posting all my open houses or posting all the houses that I have for sale, I started just posting stuff that I'm baking, and I bake at least once or twice a week, and just the response that I get from posting stuff that I make, it's like, I didn't know anybody cared that I made cookies today, but okay. That just kind of paired together, and you know, it obviously, baking doesn't have anything to do with real estate, but real estate in general is a very personal kind of thing, and I think baking is also very personal, so to just give something from my heart is something that I like to do.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So are you going down the road of baking at all independent of real estate? Or
when I moved here, about 4 years ago, and I actually worked for the Rolling Pin in Fitchburg, so I did their baking and their customer service. And I've worked, like I said, I worked for two small chocolate shops. I actually was offered a position when I lived in Milwaukee to be a sous pastry chef at a very prestigious French restaurant.
Sure.
So I'm like, okay, I know that I can do this. It's just, it's timing. So I've learned so much about running a small business, working for small businesses, and now that I have my own small business, there's a lot that you need to know. There's, you know, overhead and, you know, I like to bake all sorts of things, but just because you can doesn't mean that you should. So it's, you know, just trying to figure out where I want to do it, when I want to do it, and what I want to do. So that's kind of my 10-year goal is to open a bakery. And in the meantime,
All right.
Yep. But in the meantime, I love real estate. I never thought that I would say that, especially with the jobs that I've had in the past have mainly been customer service. I worked for corporate America for a while.
Sure.
And then moving here, I'm like, you know what? I'm sick of doing that. I want to do something for myself. So got into real estate and And I'm passionate about it. So okay. It's not that I'm settling for real estate until I make enough money to open a bakery. It's something that I enjoy doing, and I think just timing is everything sure. for anybody to open a business. Sure. So bakery is down the line. Hopefully not too far away, but
all right.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the question, doesn't elude it? how are you not a million pounds?
I would like to thank my mom, even though she's probably not going to listen to this radio cast.
Sure.
My genes play a lot into it. I'm just okay. very lucky that my mom was very thin, and she still is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, genes are a big part of it. Honestly, I used to eat cookies for breakfast. Like, my number wow. one food was sugar.
Okay.
Then I started to have some health issues that may or may not have been related sure. to all the sugar sure. that I was consuming. So actually just recently I started working out with Corey Digman
oh,
over
sure.
at Digman Fitness. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
he's been here.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm like, if I'm going to treat my body like crap, you know, maybe I should off balance it with doing some exercise.
Sure.
So funny enough, just from doing the exercise, I'm actually eating less sweets.
Uh-huh,
so it's not
sure.
necessarily that I don't like them anymore. I just don't crave it as much. So I think
sure.
that's helping balance me out. But yeah, I'm like, I'm going to get diabetes. You know, my metabolism is going to slow down eventually. I don't want to be 45 and
sure.
500 pounds. So
right.
starting to get that in check a little bit, but it's unfair. Okay. I give it to all the ladies
hey,
out
man,
there. Like I'm sorry. I eat a lot of sugar, and I'm just lucky that I don't
sure.
put on the weight.
That's no, there's nothing wrong with it. Right. If you can get away with that, all the power
right.
to you. I just feel like if I was into baking, like if I was the
yeah.
the business coach baker or something like that, I wouldn't fit through a garage door.
Right.
I would just
well, you got to taste all the product before you give
right?
it away. Okay,
yeah.
So that's number one. So it's not that I'm never going to stop taste testing and experimenting, but perhaps the days of cookies for breakfast are
sure.
like, you know, not as frequent as they used to be.
That's,
so
that's fair. Totally fair. Totally fair. So how did you end up in the real estate world if you went, especially,
oh my
I guess,
gosh.
Mainly for baking?
Yeah, so my journey is, like I said, I am on the older end of millennials.
Okay.
So I like to think that I'm not as bad as the younger millennials.
I have never heard anyone say I'm a millennial and wear it like a badge. Right? Like, yeah, I'm a millennial.
Because
so
we get
funny.
Such a bad rap, and it's so unfair. So, you know.
Is it, though?
Kind of. I mean, my parents growing up, they had two jobs. That's
sure.
just, they are baby boomers. That's just the way that life was. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm not complaining that I have so many opportunities, but I don't think that people always understand how overwhelming it can be when you're like growing up. I mean, my parents instilled in me, you can do whatever you want. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, you're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be a doctor. I mean, you can
mm-hmm.
do all of these things. And so now it's like, now I go to college. What do I want to do? Well,
sure.
I major in this because this seems like a good idea, but am I really passionate about it? And I think, you know, again, with millennials in general, they want to be passionate about what they're doing. They want a good work-life balance. So when I, you know, got out of college and started the whole pastry baking thing, I did. I worked for corporate America. I worked
mm-hmm.
for GE Healthcare. I worked for the Boston Store corporate office. I mean, I've had a lot of jobs.
Sure.
I was a gardener. I was a swimming teacher for kids. I mean, like, literally, you name it, I did it.
Sure.
Which doesn't always sound great, but I'm like, at the same time, I've learned a lot about what I didn't want to do. And I learned a
mm-hmm.
lot about myself, and I learned a lot about the business that I want to be involved in. And
sure.
so when I worked for the Boston Store corporate office, I thought that was it. I thought I was going to be a buyer for
mm-hmm.
Boston Store. I loved it. I'm, you know, big into retail therapy, and I love looking at trends. And I helped my buyer, you know, purchase. I worked in fragrances, so I helped purchase fragrances, and I worked with all these different vendors, and I'm
sure.
like, cool, go to New York twice a year, like, this is going to be an amazing gig.
Sure.
And then I kind of saw the writing on the wall. I'm like, okay, I'm working my butt off as a merchandise assistant, doing basically what a buyer's assistant does.
Sure.
And so I'm like, you know what, I think I deserve a raise. I
mm-hmm.
deserve a job title change. I'd been there for 2 years. Well, you know, you have to be here 2.5 years,
sure.
and you know, you have to go through, and it was always like hitting my head on a glass ceiling. Like, if I'm going to work, I'm going to work my butt off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always just corporate politics. You know, either I wasn't there long enough or I didn't know the right people. And I'm just like, enough. Like, I'm done. I'm done doing this. I want to be in business for myself. What's something that I can do that combines everything that I learned? So, you know, running a business, I learned that working for small businesses. Advertising, obviously, I went to school for it. But it's weird when you have to advertise yourself and you have to kind of, you know,
and you get to people, pay for it?
Yes, and get people to, like, buy into who you are and not just what you do, but, like, who you are. So I got my first bite of real estate experience when I worked for a builder in Waukesha. I was a property manager, and so I managed about 8 different properties, rented out apartments. I was really good at it. But I was 22. These were some lower-end apartments. So I would get, you know, my baby daddy's not approved, but I am, or I have 6 kids, and I'm going to be homeless. I mean, getting these really heavy calls that I'm like, oh my God, I'm trying to get my own life together. Like, I can't get your life together. So, you know, again, I was passionate about it because I love just the intimate part of I'm helping you find somewhere to live. Like, that's crazy. But it just, it wasn't the right time. So, again, moved to Madison kind of unwillingly. My other half was like,
gun to the head.
Well, my other half was like, oh, I got into school at Madison. I want to start over. This is a great idea. I'm like, who are you? What am I getting myself into? But again, Boston Store was kind of falling apart. I'm like, you know what? This is it. Like, let's give it a go. So we moved here. I actually moved here for a position as a kind of customer service, social media for a local small business. They actually manufacture skincare products out of Verona, Wisconsin, which like, awesome. But it was a family-run company, and I was kind of the only non-family member. So again, I get into work, I put my head down, I do my work. And there was just so much negativity, like, you know, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law bashing, blah, blah, blah. You know, Lindsay, what do you think? I'm like, I don't even know you guys. Why are you asking my opinion? Like, just leave me out of this kind of thing. And so that, it did not work out. So here I am in Madison. I only knew my other half. I didn't know anybody. And then he was like, I'm not going to continue with school anymore. So the whole reason why we moved here was so that he could go back to school. And we are just kind of sitting there. Okay, like, what are we going to do now? So I'm just, again, analyzing everything that I've done. I like this. I don't like that. I'm like, I'm gonna try real estate. That's what stuck out the most in my mind was helping somebody on such an intimate level. This is what I want to do. So I only interviewed with Stark. I didn't interview with anybody else. Stark is not in in Milwaukee, where I'm from, so I sat down with the president's son, and then I sat down with the president, and I'm like, I'm going to be really honest. I don't know anybody, so if you have, like, a quota or have high expectations, sales-wise, I'm probably not going to meet them my first year. And he looked at me. He's like, well, are you coachable? I'm like, yeah, I think so. He's like,
who
and
would
do you
say no to that?
Right.
I've been an idiot all my
life. Well, I don't know. I mean, some people are very strong-minded, and, you know, I get it if you think your way is the only way, but I'm
but
like,
but to admit it?
I mean, you got to be really bold if you're going to admit that you're not coachable. So I'm like, let's do it. And so that the rest is history. I mean, I've been with Stark for almost 4 years. And so, yeah, just kind of everything that I did in the past just kind of led me up to real estate. And again, I don't think anybody dreams of being a realtor because we get such a bad rap. Us and car salesmen, for sure, get such a bad rap that I, in the beginning, I was
There are times and stereotypes are time savers.
You know, in the beginning, I was like, oh, you know, I'm a realtor. Like, you're almost embarrassed to say what you did.
I even talk about that in my book.
Oh, my gosh.
I do, because somebody said that they're just a realtor. And I said, what are you using the word just for? I mean, unless you believe that you're that you are really just a realtor and that they're so dime a dozen kind of thing that you have nothing to offer, that you really truly believe that, then by all means continue on.
And again, when I got into real estate, I'm like, I am going to do this on my terms. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it the way that I want to do it. So I'm not super schmoozy. I'm not going to treat you to a night out on the town just for the sake of, you know, looking nice. I wanted to get into real estate to, A, truly help people, but in a way that was authentic to myself. And, you know, you and I teamed up to do that growing business by being yourself kind of thing. And that's, I just truly believe if you are honest and true to yourself, the business will come. Maybe not right away, because people, especially with real estate, nobody's going to wake up and, you know, go to a networking event and be like, hey, you want to buy a house? Sure. I mean, that's never happened. It takes some time. It takes relationship building. And I'm like, again, I want to work with people that I like. Mm-hmm. So why be a false me attracting people that I don't get along with?
Sure.
So that's just kind of been my biggest business mantra, if you will, is just be true to myself, be authentic. And yeah, the things that I do, I started a meetup where all we do is go to different bakeries every month. I mean, it has nothing to do with business.
This goes back to the million-pound question.
Yes, right. Well, yes, I do get that question every single month when we meet, you know, when I meet with these ladies, like, how are you not? Yeah, a million pounds.
And sure.
Luck, I guess. That's all I can say is luck.
No. I didn't mean to get tangent there.
No. But anyways, so just by doing this thing that I'm passionate about, I've gained 4 clients from doing it. Again, from having a donut and drinking coffee and not talking about real estate at all. But people take their time and get to know me, and I get to know them. That's the other thing. It can't just be a... It's got to be a give and take. Like, I truly do want to get to know you, what your needs are, and who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, not just... one and done. I mean, most of the clients that I help, I'm friends with. I'm involved in some way, shape, or form. Even if they've closed, you know, 5 years ago, I'm still touching base with them. I'm still thinking of creative ways that I can reach out to them. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Because I know that it's a big deal to buy a house. Okay, and some people, I look somebody up in the Yellow Pages, I could really kind of care less. But I'm like, it's an emotional journey. Like, you kind of do want somebody that's in your corner helping you and also acting as a quote unofficial therapist, you know, because it can be stressful. So, you know, I just trying to be as true to myself as possible and just trying to be treat people like I would want to be treated, you know, that's kind of carried through to just how I do business. I don't want to cold call people because I hate when people cold call me. So
I feel like that would be a tough sell.
For sure. But people do it. Realtors, that's a lot of them how they get started is they have lists and they just bang through. Do you want to buy a house? Do you want to buy a house? I saw your house expired. Do you want to, you know, list it with me?
They have some foundation for the people that are calling that have some remote interest in selling their house.
Not always.
Not always. Sometimes you're just like, hey, I heard you could fog a mirror.
Or like, hey, this is a really great neighborhood, you know, and then they give you the line of, I have a client looking in your neighborhood. Do you want to sell your house? That's kind of how they kind of get their in.
Okay.
But I'm like, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I know people are so successful doing it, but that's just, again, I never wanted to do business in a way that wasn't authentic to me. So
let's shift into, you mentioned or glossed over really quick that you only interviewed with Stark.
Yeah.
How did you end up interviewing with Stark, and why did you not interview with anyone else?
I think I filled out like a survey on Indeed Jobs or something like that. And so I got a call from Stark's HR. And she said, you know, do you want to come in and kind of discuss this further? And I'm like, okay. You know, I didn't know any better. I, you know, Shore West, First Weber, you know, Century 21, those are bigger names to me, but... Mm-hmm. I moved to Fitchburg and Stark was literally right down the street from where I live. So I'm like, why not?
Sure. Let me pause you right there for a moment. You're looking on Indeed. Were you looking on Indeed exclusively for real estate?
No.
No. Okay.
Nope. I was looking customer service, marketing. Those were kind of my tags.
Okay.
And then, it was some sort of catchy, like, is real estate for you? And I'm like, well, you know, I do. I have a little bit of experience doing this. Like, what is it all about? And that was just kind of my first meeting with them is like, do I even want to be a realtor? Like 100% commission? Like, I don't get paid a dime, you know? There's no salary that it's like, am I really at a point in my life where I feel comfortable doing that? And so, again, I interviewed with Chris Stark. He's roughly my age, so it was just really easy talking to him. And he sold real estate as well. So, you're the president's son, so, like, tell me the honest truth. Like, what is this company really like? Who am I going to be working for? And B... my biggest fear was my age. My age and just my lack of experience. Like
Tell me what's your age. What's the...
Yeah, so, I mean, I got started when I was 27.
Okay.
And I'm like, when I thought of a realtor, it was like a 55-year-old woman. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just kind of what...
Embroidered cat on a
sweater. Yeah, right. You know, the really ill-fitting blazer kind of thing. And I'm like... Are people? Like vodka, yeah. Right? I'm like, are people going to take me seriously? You know. So we kind of chatted about that for a little bit, and mm-hmm. he's like, again, it's more about like the tagline, you know. Fake it till you make it. And mm-hmm. with Stark, it's fake it until you become it. Like, honestly.
Sure.
So we had a really honest conversation, and then I met with his dad. And mm-hmm. again, like, the fact that he wasn't like toting me, oh, our average realtor makes $100,000 a year. Like, he wasn't sure. necessarily trying to sell me. He was mm-hmm. just saying, we're a family company. Like, we all look out for each other. And I see him every day, you know, and mm-hmm. he teaches a week-long training session. I mean, he's just so involved with this company that it's sure. not just, here's a binder, good luck. Like, you are trained really well.
Sure.
You have so many opportunities to ask questions to mm-hmm. really anybody in the office. I mean, mm-hmm. we're all kind of quote-unquote competitors.
Sure.
Because we're all trying to sell the same thing. But what we're taught is that there is so much abundance. I mean, there are so many people that all want to buy and sell. Like, mm-hmm. there's enough to go around. So once you get over the fact that, you know, we all are kind of competing with it versus mm-hmm. we're all working together,
mm-hmm.
I ask my fellow realtors questions and advice all the time, and they're just so forthcoming with it. So mm-hmm. I've been solicited by several other different real estate companies.
Okay, sure.
And I've interviewed with them after the fact.
Okay.
But I'm like, why?
Shortly after?
But about a year in. Okay. Once other companies started to realize, okay, kind of a year is almost the threshold for a lot of new realtors. Either you're sure. going to do it or you're not.
Okay.
And a lot fall off but after that first year.
Okay, when you say do it, you mean actually close a deal? Or
I mean, stick with it.
Actively see that the realtor
stick with it.
Is making some progress of some kind.
Just I will never, but... It's not common for you to be fired for underperforming.
Okay.
Usually you get out of it because you're not making enough money or you're just sure. not happy with the lifestyle. And so I joke that I work in a cubicle and the cubicle next to me is a revolving door. I mean, people come in and leave. It's either stay-at-home moms that think sure. they can do it on the side or, you know, I left my corporate America business making X amount of money and then they just assume that they're going to be making six figures their first year. So sure. it's just... You don't know it until you start doing it. So I can never mm-hmm. fault somebody for getting into real estate and then getting out of it because you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So after the first year when I only had one client my first year. It was a large okay. client, sure. which if I wouldn't have gotten that one client, I probably wouldn't have stuck with it.
Sure.
But then other companies started to see, okay, she's sticking with it. Like, I see her name sometimes mm-hmm. and she, you know, you can look up how other realtors are doing
sure.
on our internal kind of basis, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So once other companies saw that I was doing okay, then they started to, well, you can make more money or, you know, we'll give
just
you a higher split.
You,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So again, I'm like, well, did I make a mistake only interviewing sure. with one company? So yeah.
So you answered some of those.
Yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah. I met with almost all of them because okay. you don't know what you sure. don't know.
See this, I want to pause right
yes.
here and just public service announcement.
Yes.
This is why people don't like millennials.
Right. And I honestly.
Like at this moment,
yes.
Stark did nothing wrong.
Correct.
And still you're looking for greener
correct.
Grass.
Stark did nothing wrong. They've been great from the get-go.
Sure.
But there is kind of a commission split.
Okay,
so
sure.
other companies were promising me a higher commission split. And
sure.
again,
what else
when you're first getting started,
them?
Right. When you're first getting started and... You know, you're eating ramen noodle every day and you're like, how am I going to make ends meet?
Sure.
That's how they get you is we're going to pay you more money. Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm like, okay.
Here's another quarter.
Right. Yes. And that's kind of how it felt. I'm
sure.
like, sure, you could pay me an extra 10%, but in the long run, like, what else do you got? You know,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to sound weird saying this, but it wasn't just about the money for me because
sure.
I knew that the money would come.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't stress too much about it. But when that's all the other companies are talking about is we're
mm-hmm.
going to pay you all this money. I'm like, but what about everything else? What about the support?
Mm-hmm.
What about just, you know, the cost of operating my business? Every company is different and Stark, they make you pay dues,
mm-hmm.
but they cover some of your marketing costs. They cover, you know, you don't have to pay for your phone or your desk. I mean, you're not renting
sure. okay.
your space. I mean, they cover. So I just had to think, how do I operate my business and does it match better with a different company? And it
mm-hmm.
just didn't.
Sure.
It didn't. So, yeah, I've had one company really driving hard. And finally I had, you know, because, oh, well, I know Stark is great, but, you know, we're better.
Sure.
And
sure.
Blah, blah, blah. So I'm just like, you know, that's exactly it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. I am so happy doing what I'm doing, where I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that I'm not, then sure, maybe I will start to kind of, you know, entertain other possibilities. But I'm like, there's no point in me making a lateral move.
Sure.
If I'm going to make a move, it's going to be to my own brokerage, or mm-hmm. it's got to be a step above what I'm already doing.
Sure.
You yep. know what I'm saying?
Up
so,
instead of over. Sure.
Yes, for sure. So, mm-hmm.
no, that totally makes yes. sense. It's funny you say that. And I got this thorn in my side over the whole millennial thing.
Yes.
I couldn't even tell you what years millennials are supposed to be born. It doesn't matter. I use the term for all employees that don't stick with a job because they're making a lateral move.
Yes.
I mean, you said it right there, right? So I've had employees that you've hired.
Yeah.
You train them. And then they either go work for an old customer of yours.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Like we essentially paid to train them, get them up to
right.
speed, and then the customer just said thanks.
Yes. Right. Them. Right. Yes. For sure.
Or they just moved over, and I'm like, what was the point of
right.
moving over?
Right.
There's
right.
no progress
right.
in that. It's just something different.
Yes.
Like you're just chasing happiness.
Right.
In the end,
the grass isn't always greener on the other side. But you think, you know, again, they were promising me X amount extra in commission. But for a short period of time.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, for the next 3 months, sure, I'm going to be raking in the dough. But then what, like, what comes after that?
Right.
What else are you offering me? How, you know,
sure.
how is this helping me in the long run?
Sure. No, same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, just wasn't worth it. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So you, I want to shift into talking about being a real estate agent.
Yes.
Specifically. One, the term realtor, can
yes.
you explain that to me? And
it is
listeners?
Pronounced realtor, so thank you for saying that correctly. It is okay. not realtor.
Realtor?
No,
okay.
it is realtor. I had
okay.
to learn that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, being a realtor, mm-hmm. it's 100% commission. So
okay.
you basically have your own business. I
mm-hmm.
mean, I park my name under Stark.
Sure.
They're my broker.
Mm-hmm.
They take some of my dough because they're my
so,
broker.
Pause right there.
Yeah.
What does broker mean?
So broker... you have to have a specific license. So I could get my own brokerage license, but to be a broker, you have to kind of dot all the I's and cross all the T's.
Mm-hmm.
They check over everything that I do. So
okay.
all of the offers that I write, you know, I have, specific insurance that they help cover. So if
sure.
I make a mistake, it's not 100% on me.
Okay.
So, and Stark
forget
is a big
digit or something, put
yes,
the decimal point in the
right
spot.
Right. Stark is a bigger name than I am as well.
Sure.
So, I mean, I could very well get my brokerage license and start my own brokerage, but nobody knows who I am,
sure.
you know? So,
so some
it,
brand recognition
correct.
Locally.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that helps as well. I mean, Stark was number one for forever.
Sure.
I mean, they've been around over 100 years that it's like, this makes sense, whereas
mm-hmm.
other brokerages don't always get the best rep. So
sure.
while I could be great, you do have that affiliation. I'm like, do I
sure.
really, you know, want to do that? So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
you have your brokerage, which kind of covers your butt
mm-hmm.
for all intents and purposes.
Sure.
So I'm basically a quote-unquote employee of them, but they don't, you know, pay me any salary by any means. So.
Sure.
So it is. It's like operating your own business. And
okay.
I know that there are kind of rules and regulations you have to abide by as far
mm-hmm.
as social media and stuff, but I kind of do whatever I want.
Sure.
So, yeah, free reign to do whatever I want, advertising-wise,
mm-hmm.
social media-wise. There's obviously a code of ethics that I can't
mm-hmm.
just be, you know,
sure.
a slumlord or, you know, writing all these
sure.
false contracts by any means. But you kind of get free reign, and it's
sure.
it's up to you how successful you want to be, because it's how much effort are you putting into your business.
Sure.
So I, and you have to do it full time. You do. Until you've worked.
Do they govern that?
No,
Stark,
no.
No?
This is my own personal
okay.
opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Until you've done it enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe 5, 7, 10 years in. I mean, you have your solid core of investors that, you know, invest with you every year. Then sure, do it part time. You know, you have enough people
mm-hmm.
who know you, who you are. But I think one of the big mistakes getting started is you're either trying to do it on the side while working a job
mm-hmm.
or, again, stay-at-home mom. You think, oh, I'll just do this in my free time. And
mm-hmm.
the market, the way that it is, I mean, it's so competitive that sure. I work 24/7. I mean, I have to be on at any moment. And for some people, they just can't do that. But mm-hmm. for me, I mean, I did that when I worked in the corporate world or in the retail world back when I was a teenager, and I hated nights and weekends. I'm like, everybody else is having fun and I'm going to work.
Sure.
But when you're working for yourself, it's so different. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a chore for me to work on a weekend or a weeknight because I see the benefit of the effort that I'm putting in.
Sure.
So yeah, I do it full time. Again, you don't have to, but I do it full time, and I basically operate in the way that I want to operate
sure.
and work with people I want to work with. I mm-hmm. did fire my first client, and dare I say this, it was my brother.
Oh, nice. Just too annoying?
No.
Kept giving you noogies or something like that.
You know, just family dynamics is so different, and again, I only want to work with people who know and appreciate what I do.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't see the value in what I do,
sure.
then I failed somewhere
sure.
and we're not a good fit.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what happened is,
mm-hmm.
hey, you're my brother. I'm going to skip over all this stuff and you're just going to know that I'm going to do a good job for
sure.
you.
Sure. So he was listing with you or help?
He was going to do both. He okay. was going to do both.
Okay.
And so he was going to, we were going to start with buying because he wanted to build. So mm-hmm. finding a lot was going to be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And then push came to shove. We were working together for a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hey. And
make a decision, man.
Yeah. And it was just tough. And it was one of the toughest things that I've done, but we're fine now, you know,
sure.
and I don't know if he even truly realized the strain that we had.
Sure.
Because I wear my heart in my sleeve, and that's probably my biggest downfall being a realtor is you can't always be emotional, but
sure.
it's hard
to negotiate
yes,
that way.
Right, right. But like I said, I care so much about my clients
sure.
that I just want the best for them. So when they start kind of straying
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, no, come back. Like, you're going the wrong way. I have to learn. You need to make mistakes on your own as well. Like, mm-hmm. I'm here to kind of give you my advice.
Sure.
Help you only if you want to listen to mm-hmm. my advice and my help. And if mm-hmm. you don't, then sometimes you have to fall on your face. And that's just unfortunate. And
sure.
so it was tough to kind of bring him on the same page as me. And again, it's probably stuff that I skipped that I mm-hmm. probably shouldn't have skipped.
Sure.
But it definitely, again, just kind of taught me about my worth and my value. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, again, it wasn't about the money. It was, I wanted to do a good job for you. And now it's starting to affect our relationship. It's the same thing with friends. Working with friends can be difficult too.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to sit down in the beginning and just set expectations very clearly. If at any point they don't feel like I'm doing a good enough job or
mm-hmm.
vice versa, I don't have to work with you if I don't necessarily want to work
sure.
with you. So if you're not listening to my advice or, you know, the biggest thing is if you're skipping getting pre-approved and you're
mm-hmm.
just trying to immediately put in an offer. I'm like, but it's going to, you know, bite you in the butt if you're
sure.
not pre-approved because now
sure.
you're in this accepted offer and you don't even know if you can afford it. So
mm-hmm.
I have had a couple of clients, no, I just want you to show me properties. I don't want to meet with the lender. If you're not going to abide, I've been doing it long enough
mm-hmm.
and I've had enough clients and enough success that now I can be a little bit firm. If you're not going to abide by
sure.
kind of my rules and regulations because I know that this is the best thing for you to do,
right.
then maybe this isn't the right fit because I'm not your tour guide, you know,
right.
like I'm in this with you. I want you to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to kind of stray off on your own, then
right.
maybe try it on your own for a little bit and then
mm-hmm.
we can reconnect when you're ready. But,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a tough one.
No, I can understand that. Thanksgiving
yeah.
coming up. So you don't want that to be awkward.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah, it was tough, but,
sure. No, it's smart that you have rules and guidelines
yeah.
that you have your clients have to abide by,
mm-hmm.
and then you understand if you want to work with people or not.
Yeah.
And realistically, if they're not interested in doing the things that you recommend, which a pre-approval thing is
it's
not.
It's nothing above and beyond. I mean, it's I started, you know, when I got started in real estate, everyone's like, oh, what a great time to be a realtor. I'm like, not really, because it was such a seller's market that when you get started,
deals.
But once you got started, most of your clients are buyers. That's sure. just the way that it starts out. And so it was like
sure.
diving in the deep end. I mean, I had one client, we probably wrote 15 offers and they all got denied. Sure. I mean, not even a counter, just a straight up rejected because they already had 20 other offers on the table.
Sure.
So it was tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was trying to stay positive with my clients mm-hmm. while also trying to feed myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the beginning, it's hard not to kind of think about the end result.
Sure.
But now that I've been doing it long enough, it's you can't do that. Because once you start doing that, you lose sight
sure.
totally of your clients' needs and wants. And then mm-hmm. it becomes more about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was tough. The first 2 years, honestly, were tough. And now I've gotten into a rhythm enough that it's still a roller coaster. My summer I had no closings and then all of a sudden I have six. I mean, it's just, it's the ebb and flow and you just have to get used to it. And now I'm finally feeling comfortable enough when I do have those low points that it's like, but you know, it's coming. Like business is coming. I feel okay with it. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, the beginning was tough. There were many, you know, conversations with my other half, Greg, like, what am I doing? Like, I would ask him. Oh. He's so amazing he was never hard on me. Like he has been such an awesome emotional support. Like I was a freaking chocolatier. Like who does that? And I made like pennies on the dollar doing it. But mm-hmm. I was so passionate about doing it and he was so supportive of me doing it that we had an honest conversation when I got into real estate. I'm like, can we financially afford to do this? He's like, yeah, you have to try. And so I would have my moments where I'm like, oh, I'm failing miserably, like not making any money, or you know, I've had clients kind of, you know, come and go, like life happens. And you mm-hmm. know, again, you're kind of relying on that closing at some point, and then when it doesn't happen, you're like, oh, you know, I'm let down again kind of thing. And he's like, just keep at it. Like you've had enough success that you know what that feels like and you're just learning. I mean, you learn along the way mm-hmm. and that's kind of how you grow your business is just mm-hmm. by your trials and errors. And so, you know, yeah, I've gotten to the point where he doesn't question what I'm doing. He probably did like in his mind, but he never like really brought that up as like, maybe you should look for something else. It was always me kind of having doubt in myself.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Even my wife has challenged why I don't get a real job.
Really?
And I'm just like, I've been doing this for over 10 years.
No, like no, it's always been me and my lack of confidence. And
mm-hmm.
Just because I'm not a cocky person doesn't mean that I'm not confident. You know what I mean? So that's taken some time to just gain my confidence and just be like, no, you know what? You do know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like you've been in the business 4 years. Sure. People have been in the business for 30.
Sure.
But who cares? You know,
realistically, once you get good,
you know,
how much better can you get when in the end you're just showing filling
out the same
houses.
Documents? Yeah. I mean, so It was just me doubting myself, and that's mm-hmm. definitely gotten better.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So can you take us, would you mind taking us down the deep, dark realm of being a realtor?
Yes.
Awesome. So one, I have a question in regards to using a realtor, a real estate agent. I'm not sure what the difference is there.
It's the same.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I think
realtor is a real estate agent.
You have to pay to have the realtor thing by your name, right?
In order to operate as a realtor or a real estate agent, you have to pay your dues.
Okay.
I mean, you can't just
and you
wake
mean that
up
literally like cash.
You have to pay money. Yes. Okay. So that's the other thing of why people kind of fall out is you have to pay to mm-hmm. be a part of the MLS, to be a part of Wisconsin Realtors Association and to be a part of a brokerage. I mean, you mm-hmm. have to pay your broker dues. So anyways.
Okay. So when I see people that decide to do for sale by owner mm-hmm. or they decide to go off and purchase property or something like that without a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little bit of pro con?
Yes, I can. Because my brother ended up selling his house for sale by owner.
Oh, nice.
And it worked out great for him.
Sure.
He knew somebody who knew somebody who said, I want to buy your house for full price. Don't hire me. I mean, you're going to be paying me money for no reason. That makes no sense.
Just a contract. Super awesome.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So for sale by owner is great if, A, you have the time to dedicate to cleaning your house every day, doing showings, and you know enough about the market to price your house properly.
Sure.
I think that's the number one mistake that for sale by owner people they don't get. They hiring a realtor is not cheap when you're selling your house.
Not at all.
No. So I get the hesitation and the reluctancy. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if you don't know the market, which who does? I mean, I do this every day. I mm-hmm. study the real estate market every single day. Mm-hmm. You maybe buy and sell a house once, twice, three times in your life. Sure. I mean, on average, you just don't do this every day.
Sure.
So 9 times out of 10, if you're selling your house on your own, whoever buys your house is going to have an agent.
Okay.
So if you think I'm going to be saving money by not listing with an agent, you could very well still end up having to pay sure. the other agent.
The buyer's agent.
Correct. Okay. Because at the end of the day, what that buyer's agent is doing is bringing you a client. Mm-hmm. So they can't do that for free.
Sure.
So they're either going to ask you, the seller, to pay for it, or it's going to fall on their client, or mm-hmm. they're going to try and work it into the purchase price. I mean, there's sure. ways that you can get creative.
Mm-hmm.
But again, now that buyer has somebody in their corner, and mm-hmm. you, seller, you have nobody in your corner.
Sure.
I have been on the buyer side purchasing a for sale by owner, and I took full advantage of the seller because they just didn't know.
Okay.
So we would ask for small things to be fixed. Seller had no idea the difference. Sure, I'll fix it. Or you do an inspection and you think, now I have to fix everything on the list. That's not necessarily true.
Sure.
But again, when you have nobody looking out for your best interest,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the statistic is, but typically for sale by owner, you actually end up coming in less than if you would have sold with a realtor.
Okay.
Again, that's not always the case, especially in this market. I mean, some people mm-hmm. do just put a sign in your yard and your house sure. is sold the next day. There are special circumstances, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, doing for sale by owner, I would just recommend you have at least a little bit of knowledge, or you hire an attorney to help you so
sure.
that you at least know that the paperwork is filled out properly
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to, again, be totally taken advantage of. And now you're paying extra money that you had no idea you had to pay.
Sure.
So for sale by owner, that's kind of the dark side of that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as a buyer's agent, so the way that it works in a typical transaction is the seller wants to sell their house.
Mm-hmm.
They hire a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
The seller pays for the buyer's agent and for their listing agent.
Mm-hmm.
So you, buyer, you don't pay any money.
Sure.
You get me
directly.
To me.
Directly.
You don't pay me.
Sure. Directly.
Correct. The seller covers my fee
mm-hmm.
most of the time. If you're looking at realtor.com, Trulia, starkhomes.com.
Sure.
My fee is already included. You mm-hmm. don't have to worry about that.
Sure.
Where it gets fuzzy is, again, for sale by owner, because there's no guarantee that the seller is going to be covering my fee. And
mm-hmm.
I have that conversation with my buyers up front. Because I do.
The conversation that says that you may not get compensated?
That I have to get compensated one way or another.
Okay.
Either the seller is going to pay my fee,
mm-hmm.
which is typical,
mm-hmm.
or the buyer might have to end up paying my fee in some fashion,
okay.
whether it's paying more on the house that they purchase or
mm-hmm.
splitting my commission with the seller.
Sure.
So that's why it's just silly that if you are a buyer and you're looking at a normal house that's listed on, you know, realtor.com,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't you want an agent in your corner? Again, making sure that the process goes smoothly when
sure.
you're not paying them any money.
So then let me ask you, when my wife and I have dealt with purchasing houses, the buyer agent that we talk to, whoever it is, they'll be like, hey, I'll show you this house, but I want you to sign some 6-month
yes.
Agreement where you're only using me and you're only
yes.
sending me cookies and whatever.
Yes.
And I used to tell them, go pound sand. I don't know anything about you.
Sure.
I don't know how good you are.
Sure.
And I like to think that with this internet, I can find a lot of houses on my own that
sure.
you may or may not find for me.
Right. So that's the other tough thing. So that's called a buyer agency agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So what that, and because real estate has, obviously, it's been around forever, that a lot of the older realtors,
sure.
buyer agency wasn't a thing back in the 80s.
Right,
it just
right.
wasn't.
Yep.
So it's kind of a newfangled thing because, again,
sure.
back in the day, seller would want to sell their house
mm-hmm.
and the listing agent would work on the seller's behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would be protecting the seller. But then the buyers are like, who's protecting me?
Sure.
Nobody's looking out for my best interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the buyer agency came to be.
Mm-hmm.
It is a contract. So the buyer has to agree.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a relationship. I'm committing to you that I'm going to give you the best advice, that I'm going to negotiate on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's happened many times where my buyer finds a house before I do.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why you're hiring a realtor is mainly for the negotiation piece of it.
Okay.
It's a third party. Buyers and sellers get very heated. So if a buyer and a seller try and negotiate directly with each other,
mm-hmm.
things can go wrong pretty quickly.
Oh my gosh, I wish we could negotiate in person or over the phone or something like that.
Yes.
Instead of dink around with this, write it down on paper.
Yes.
Fax it in or some archaic thing like that. Wait, you got 48 hours to respond.
Yeah. No, and it's,
like,
it's,
oh, let's
right.
bang this out in 5 minutes.
Yes.
We can have this.
And that's
done.
How I operate as well. Like, I call the other agent and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be sending you 7 different counter offers.
Right.
Like, really, like,
mm-hmm.
we both have the same intention. We both want to close on this house.
Mm-hmm.
So do our clients. How can we come to the happy medium?
Sure.
So again, so signing a buyer agency, it's a contract, and it's
mm-hmm.
not something that I ever take lightly.
Sure.
And nor do I expect my clients to just sign that in the first 5 seconds that you know me, which
sure.
kind of goes back to, again, I work with people who already kind of know me,
mm-hmm.
so they have no hesitancy being like, yes, Lindsay, I want you to represent me in my best interest.
Sure. So there's established trust there.
Correct.
Already.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, I've obviously met people through open houses.
Mm-hmm.
I discuss the buyer agency agreement with them. I say, you know what? If you don't feel comfortable signing this today, I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
But just know that houses that we look at, I am acting on the seller's best interest.
Sure.
I can't be telling you if they'll accept 250 instead of 260.
Sure.
I can't tell you, you know, what the resale value is going to be. Like,
but
I'm going to be a little bit vanilla.
Realistically, you want the deal to go through either way, right?
I do. But again,
so
I act like the realtor police is looking over my shoulder every 5 seconds, because I know that there are a fair amount of realtors that never get the buyer agency signed until the moment that the offer is accepted.
Oh, interesting.
And they, okay. of course, are spewing out all this information that they shouldn't be.
Sure.
So I'm not saying I'm this goody two-shoes that, mm-hmm. you know, abides by every single rule possible, but truly, it just goes back to my whole idea of, if you don't feel comfortable and confident enough signing a buyer agency with me,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, we can cancel at any time. Me and the client.
Can as well.
Yes.
Okay.
So, James, we could sign a buyer agency today,
okay.
and it could expire tomorrow.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So that we could cancel it, or that we would put a contingency of it expiring at a given time?
Both. We could, in the contract, we can say that it ends tomorrow.
Okay.
Or let's say we say that it ends 6 months from now, but 2 months in, you're like, oh, you know, I'm not really feeling this, or I'm
right.
going to hang up my hat, I'm not going to buy anymore. Then we can amend the contract and we can end it.
But there has to be a mutual agreement.
It does,
that.
Yes.
Because okay. I had a selling real estate agent that
yeah.
I was working with for commercial property,
yeah.
and he was terrible.
Yeah.
And I had to wait him out.
Oh.
Wait out that contract, because
sure.
he didn't want to end the contract.
So again, this goes back.
Right,
right. This goes back to the whole, I never want to be this schmoozy, gross realtor.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, my reputation is a big thing. Because again,
sure.
I'm selling myself. So
mm-hmm.
if all of a sudden I get this reputation of, she's awful, but she
right.
makes us work with her anyways,
sure.
like, that's going to hurt me in the
mm-hmm.
long run.
Mm-hmm.
That I have had buyers that we have ended the contract because it just didn't work out.
Sure.
And it's no skin off my back, because again, I don't want to work with you
mm-hmm.
if you don't want to work with me, because it's just going to be painful the
mm-hmm.
whole time, and it's going to be way more stress than what it's worth.
Sure,
sure. Of course I want a paycheck at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
but do I really want sleepless nights and like just being grumpy and miserable all the time?
Sure.
No, because that's not why I got into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's more fish in the sea. I mean,
right.
I've learned that. There's more fish in the sea that if it's not working out with one, it's no skin off my back. Just be honest and say, you know what, it's not working out. Then I'd be like, cool, it's not working out either. Like,
sure.
see you later kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there's always any profession. There are people who are just looking at the bottom line or looking out only for themselves.
Sure.
I mean, I was talking to a realtor the other day, and she's like, I've never gotten a referral. Like, that's amazing. How do you get referrals?
Ever?
I'm like, yes.
Oh, that's weird.
Again, it's the whole mentality of burn and churn. You buy leads on Realtor.com or Zillow, and that's all you do is work with cold leads. You close the deal, and then you never talk to them again.
That's not your closing. You think you'd make a friend somewhere.
Right. I mean, like, who even wants to do business that way? Like,
that's
I like making friends, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, that's kind of how I do business. And there are a lot of contracts involved. And like I said, I don't take that lightly. I know mm-hmm. that you are trusting me mm-hmm. with one of the biggest purchases you're ever going to make in your life. And sure. I don't take that lightly. I mean, I'm invested. Whether we sign the buyer agency or not, I'm still going to be invested in you. It's mm-hmm. just legally there are things that I can and cannot do
sure.
if the buyer agency isn't signed. So that's kind of
gotcha.
What that document okay. means.
Sure,
yes.
sure. It's interesting. Yeah.
yeah.
In my defense, I guess, for not liking the realtor I was working with, he was taking more than 4 days to return calls.
Oh, yeah.
Of people asking about the property.
Oh, sure.
Like, if you don't get in touch and communicate with the people that are actually interested
right.
in buying this, it ain't going to sell.
No. And especially in the world we live in today, like, I set a horrible precedent that I get back to very quickly. And
sure.
that's something else I need to work on, because I do. I get phone calls and emails at 11 o'clock at night.
Sure.
And it's like, it's so tempting, like, not to, you know, reply. But I'm like, no. The way that especially real estate works, you have to be so quick
mm-hmm.
that if you're not responding in, you know, 2-3 days, like,
the house
is, right, the house is coming and gone. But some businesses, they don't work on the weekends.
Sure.
Or 5 o'clock, I'm done. I'm, you know,
sure.
that was my work day. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
no, that's not how I'm going to operate my business. Because I just bought a house. So I know what
nice.
It's like.
Congrats.
Thank you. So, you know, you're looking at 7 p.m. at night and
mm-hmm.
you have questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I put myself in my client's shoes. And while it's can be inconvenient when somebody is calling me or emailing me in the middle of dinner,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a pause. I'm going to finish my dinner because mm-hmm. I have a life too.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I know they're anxious and they're excited. Why not respond? You know?
Sure.
So.
Well, that, I imagine most of what you do has to be nights and weekends.
It is.
People have
yep.
day
most
jobs,
of it is.
Right?
Yep. So
generally
speaking,
you have to work with people that have jobs.
Right.
So there's that.
There is that. I mean, you get those few, you know, retired people that you're like, hallelujah, during the day. No, I'm just kidding.
Sure.
It's, I really don't mind. There are times where, you know, you have plans on the weekends. I mean,
sure.
I've had to cancel a couple of my vacations to help clients, and that's tough. But again,
sure.
at the end of the day.
Right.
It's a give and take, and I know that at the end of the day
sure.
it'll work out.
There's
so.
Something to be said for a 3% payout. So that's
right,
all
right. Right.
So what advice would you give someone that was considering getting into the real estate game?
The advice that I would give is it takes a while. Don't expect to get into the business and make all of your dreams come true in the first year. It,
sure.
it takes work. It takes dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody operates differently. So just because Joe Schmo is super successful
mm-hmm.
doing business the way that he does it, it doesn't mean that you have to do it that way.
Sure.
I think that's something that I got caught up in a little too much when I was first getting started, is thinking I have to do things that everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no, just so stay true to yourself is,
sure.
is my other tip of advice. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you hopefully are getting into this business because you want to be successful and you want to work with people that you like working with.
Sure.
So, you know, be yourself.
Sure.
And stick with it. And I guess lean on people that you have in your circle.
Sure.
For advice and help. So
nice. Where do you see yourself going with your business in the next 3 years?
Next 3 years, I've thought about opening my own brokerage. I was known as the tiny house realtor for a while, because when I moved to Madison, I was like, oh, tiny houses are the wave of the future. Like, and I thought that Madison were so green, were so, you know,
sure.
outdoor friendly. Tiny houses are the next big thing. No, sorry, not anymore.
That was a fad.
Land,
that
yes,
about 6 weeks,
yes.
Huh?
Land is so hard to find that, and just the whole kind of mentality of Madison. I don't think we're quite there yet.
Sure.
But we don't
need to be. We have room.
Right. Right. So, yeah, tiny houses were my thing in the beginning. And I thought that I was going to open my own brokerage specifically looking at just tiny houses.
Okay.
But I'm like, no, that's crazy. So I'm probably going to stick with Stark and just continue to grow. I've grown every year. That's always been my goal. Again, it's not monetary. It's more just people that I'm helping and
sure.
houses that I'm closing on. And so, yeah, next 3 years is more trips to Hawaii. I did book a trip to Hawaii, so I'm hoping to do a big trip every year going forward. So,
nice. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
A little reward.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Of course.
So if you were to give one piece of advice to someone that was considering hiring a realtor,
ooh.
What would you give them?
kind of like what you said. I mean, we are a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like if you don't like the agent that you're working with,
as a whole, not specifically the good ones. The good ones are diamonds in the rough.
Right. But it's going to be a long haul, and it's the same thing with the lender. I mean, you kind of need to do a little bit of your research.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel bad interviewing a couple realtors, whether you're buying or selling, whether it's a $70,000 budget or $1 million budget.
Sure.
Don't feel guilty interviewing other realtors, because we're not all the same.
Sure.
You know, we don't all do business the same, and we don't all have the same personalities. So you should kind of work with somebody that you click with and that you don't mind talking to on a regular basis. Because I'm probably going to be talking to you multiple times a day.
Sure.
And, you know, if we don't get along, or you don't get along with, you know, the way that I do business, then, you know, finding somebody else might be a better option.
Sure.
So
call them, make sure they either answer or get back to you in a timely manner.
Correct. Yes.
Timely manner, not being a week.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Life goes on.
For sure.
All right. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, business coach at Draw and Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call Shared Receptionist Services, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Lindsay Koch, the banking realtor. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This
Thanks
has been
so
a
much.
Blast. You took me picking on the realtor stuff. And millennials, my goodness. James, I didn't know this was going to happen. Mm.
Sorry, I didn't bring you any cookies. That's a failure on my part.
You know,
so.
It just dawned on me, like, wait a second. You had one job.
Next time, sorry.
Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome, and if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.